Good afternoon. It's 5:06 and 44 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Rachel Turner.
A Moorhead man will be in court tomorrow on murder charges.
Kentuckians are hoping to see police accountability laws move in Frankfort.
The NAACP wants Lexington leaders to reconsider the firing of a police officer.
Youth advocates are calling for changes to the juvenile justice system.
The Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine could be administered later this week.
In sports, Moorhead State soccer and baseball are in action this afternoon.
Bud Luke has a stock report.
Clear skies tonight with lows in the mid-20s. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
A Moorhead man is scheduled to be arraigned tomorrow on murder charges. 42-year-old Gary Jeffries was arrested in December in connection with the murder of Jill Clayton. Her remains were found in an area near Wolf Hollow Road in Moorhead nearly 2 weeks after she was last seen by family members. Jeffries was arrested in Louisville 4 days after Clayton disappeared. He was found asleep in his truck and charged with being a convicted felon in possession of a firearm. During an extensive search party of the heavily wooded and hilly scene, a volunteer found Clayton's body just a mile and a half from her home. Jeffries is currently charged with murder, tampering with physical evidence, and abuse of a corpse. No bond has yet been set. He will appear for arraignment in district court at 9 a.m. Wednesday morning.
Participants in a Monday night virtual town hall outlined how they hope to pass police accountability reforms in Lexington and at the state level. Policymakers and activists behind the push to ban no-knock warrants took questions about the competing policing reform bills in Frankfort and what it might take for Lexington to follow Louisville's lead. The state's largest city enacted a no-knock ban and expanded the use of body cameras within months of the death of Breonna Taylor at the hands of police. Lexington Councilman James Brown said Louisville was primed for action at the time.
I think the reason that Louisville was able to move so fast, I think the people were speaking, and I think the political will was there, but I think it's because they were already doing the work and the relationships exist. So I think the relationships are a big part of it. The relationships between the activists, the relationship between the faith community, the relationships in the community, and the relationships with the policymakers.
Brown highlighted Mayor Linda Gorton's moratorium on the controversial warrants and the work of the Mayor's Commission for Racial Justice and Equality. But he said Lexington would benefit from more Black representation. He added he'd like to see state-level reforms that could set a baseline for communities as they look to customize their own policies. The proposed statewide Breonna's Law bill would receive a hearing in committee by Thursday or Friday.
Louisville's recently created Police Civilian Review Board and Office of Inspector General would have subpoena power under a bill on its way to the Kentucky Senate. The action would require a judge's approval. Louisville voted to form the Independent Civilian Board to review alleged incidents of police policy as a step toward accountability in the wake of racial justice protests. While the language satisfied most on the committee, others remained hesitant. Republican Danny Carroll, a retired police officer, said he fears other cities will follow Louisville's lead.
I think what Louisville Metro has done will lead to mass resignations, retirements, and I just don't think this is the best way to address the problem.
A commission on racial equality formed in Lexington recommended the city create a civilian review board and add 3 civilians to an internal police disciplinary review panel.
A new bill could mean defendants diagnosed with a serious mental illness may be exempt from the death penalty in Kentucky. WMKY's Lakin Hupp has the story.
The Kentucky House of Representatives approved House Bill 148 by 75-16 vote Monday night. This bill states the defendant would have to have a history of schizophrenia, schizoaffective disorder, bipolar disorder, major depressive disorder, or delusional disorder during the time of the crime to qualify for exemption. Kentucky law already allows those who have a serious intellectual disability, like an IQ below 70, are to be exempt from the death penalty. Representatives say the bill is not the same thing as an insanity plea. Suspects who have a serious mental illness could still be convicted of a capital offense and go to prison for life without the chance of parole. If House Bill 148 becomes a law, it only applies to trials that occur after the effective date of the bill. The bill now goes to the Senate for consideration. For WMKY News, I'm Lakin Hupp.
Kentucky kids as young as 5 or 6 can legally end up in juvenile court because the state currently lacks a minimum age threshold. But new legislation would ban kids 12 and younger from being tried before a judge. In states without minimum age threshold, elementary age school kids have been arrested for throwing temper tantrums, throwing a ball at another child's face, and refusing to go to the principal's office. Courtney Downs of Kentucky Youth Advocates says the statistics are disturbing given the science that shows kids should not be treated like adults.
And so in 2019, there were actually 691 complaints that were filed against 12-year-olds. Anyone can file a complaint against a child for any reason.
Downs points out that of those cases, only around 1% went to court. She also says despite making up only 11% of the population of 12-year-olds in the state, black youths are disproportionately affected, making up 20% of those complaints.
The NAACP is calling on Lexington leaders to reconsider their decision to fire former police officer Jervis Middleton, who was charged with improperly passing along internal police information to racial justice protesters. WUKY's Josh James has more.
Both the Lexington Police Department and the city's Urban County Council agreed in February Middleton should be dismissed over the contacts. But the NAACP argues the department set up Middleton to justify his firing. In a statement, the group says for years the LPD permitted racist taunts against the officer, leading to a hostile and unconstitutional work environment. The statement acknowledges Middleton violated agency policy, but says he did so because he was, quote, unable to disregard his identity as a black man in what the group calls a workplace, quote, akin to the good old boys all-white fraternity culture. Police investigators say Middleton provided protesters with sensitive information regarding tactics during the demonstrations that consumed the department last summer. The NAACP is urging city leaders to re-examine their decision to terminate Middleton. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
Senate President Robert Stivers is leading a bill protecting businesses from COVID-related lawsuits. WMKY's Jonathan Burton has the story.
The Kentucky Senate passed Senate Bill 5 on a 24-11 vote on Monday. President Stivers said it would be used to help businesses recover from the pandemic without potential lawsuits. According to WYMT, the bill ran into opposition from lawmakers who say it is too broadly written and favors some Kentuckians over others. The bill would provide protection for businesses and groups affected by the pandemic. SB 5 now heads to the full House for its consideration. For WMKY News, I'm Jonathan Burton.
The Johnson & Johnson vaccine was approved by the FDA over the weekend and may be available within the week. The vaccine is different from others available on the market, with J&J's brand being able to survive in normal refrigeration levels and requiring just one dose. Dr. John Klein is from the University of Louisville School of Medicine. He tells Wave 3 News the vaccine is available for those who may have had trouble getting it otherwise.
If you think about it for a minute, particularly, this is a really useful vaccine to have for people who have limited transportation. Elderly people who are shut-ins, who may have been missed in the Phase 1A and 1B rollouts. Homeless people who simply have no resources.
J&J says there will be 20 million doses available by the end of March, and the company plans to begin trials on children and pregnant women.
Federal restrictions on evictions end March 31st, and some locals are concerned about the future. Thousands of Kentucky renters are still struggling financially to make ends meet, and landlords are still trying to break even in their investments. Renter Brandy Ashcraft tells WKYT she worked in the hotel industry before the pandemic began.
Lost a job, not being able to pay rent, not being able to pay anything. Try to find a job, it's scarce out there due to the corona.
Ashcraft did apply for government assistance and other jobs.
More than 1.6 million Kentuckians have health coverage through Medicaid. Research shows expanding the program has driven a dramatic decline in the state's uninsured rate in recent years. However, for many families, barriers to access remain, especially among the state's Latino and immigrant populations. That's according to Kara Stewart, Director of Policy Advocacy at Kentucky Voices for Health. Stewart says she's seen firsthand how Medicaid has improved community health.
It's important to me to lift up the experiences of real people. Everybody knows somebody with Medicaid, and everybody interacts with somebody with Medicaid practically every day, whether you think about it or not.
Between now and May 15th, Kentuckians can apply for coverage or make changes to existing plans on the healthcare.gov website.
Flooding is widespread across central and southeast Kentucky, and the high water will persist for several days, with many rivers set to crest before starting to fall later this week. WYMT reports states of emergency have been issued in more than a dozen Kentucky counties, and the National Guard has been activated and is responding to assist with high water emergencies across the region. Among the hardest hit area is Clay City in Powell County. The town is completely cut off by the flooded Red River, which is expected to crest at its second highest level on record. Many residents had to be rescued from flooded homes or stranded cars and were being shuttled by first responders to safe locations. Bethany Jones was among the evacuees who were rescued after floodwaters began entering her home. She was not able to take much with her and expects her home to be destroyed or washed away.
It was hard because, you know, it was a lot of sentimental stuff. A lot of memories, you know, just a lot of things with my kids. It's all going to be gone.
To help families like Jones's, the Foundation for the Appalachian Kentucky has set up a fund for flood relief. Donations can be made online at appalachianky.org.
Taking a look at your region's extended weather forecast for this evening, clear skies with lows in the mid-20s. Wednesday, sunny, highs in the upper 50s. Wednesday night, mostly clear, lows in the 30s. Thursday, sunny, highs in the upper 40s. Thursday night, clear, lows in the upper 20s. Friday, mostly sunny, highs in the upper 40s. Friday night, partly cloudy, lows in the upper 20s. And for your Saturday, sunny, highs in the upper 40s.
On our feature segment today, mental health and education has taken a forefront during the COVID-19 pandemic. WMKY's Keneally Roberts reports.
The College of Education at Morehead State University partnered with the Appalachian Rural Education and MSU Hub Council to present the live webinar, Mental Health and Education, Averting a Crisis. The discussion featured guest speaker Dr. Jared Schurz, the CEO of Teacher Coach, an online teaching resource for educators. Schurz says a main issue facing the field of education is that teachers have said they don't feel cared for on a systemic level, especially during the pandemic.
Educators are often experiencing their work with less autonomy as we shift to a more outcome-focused kind of system in education. It can bring in accountability, but also at the same time, it can rob creativity and independence for educators. I think there's an inherent sense of isolation, you know, that's been in education for a very long time.
However, he says even more important than discussing coping strategies for stress is determining why people react differently to a same set of stressors.
Because if we can understand what creates that kind of severe reaction to distress, now we're in a better position to figure out what to do about it. I'm very much a believer in self-reflection.
Schurz says as a result, it's vital to determine the cause of mental distress.
All pathology, I don't care whether it's behavioral, mental health, emotional, spiritual, just about every single issue a person deals with that's considered sort of abnormal for them can probably be linked back to the idea that they're not getting their needs met. And there are a lot of needs well beyond what even Maslow, I think, created.
To determine the cause and to combat mental distress, Schurz says educators must learn to internalize certain needs and not rely on their environment.
if we're not aware of what our needs are, if we're not aware of what indicators does our body give us when our needs are unmet, if we don't have the skills of expressing or negotiating to get our needs met, and if we can't tolerate the distress that comes with not getting our needs met.
Schurz says it's imperative for every school system to have both a prevention and intervention model rooted in a common belief to avoid a disjointed approach.
But what happens is it runs the risk of not recognizing that all of these areas are interconnected. Trauma, mental health, substance abuse, bullying, truancy, and for adults, even burnout. These areas are all interconnected.
However, overall, Schurz says teachers are very bright and don't need a step-by-step playbook.
People say that when they're tired and stressed, just give me the toolbook. But what people really want is they want to be treated like professionals and like adults. And when they get a concept and it makes sense to them and they are invested in it, they're going to do a much better job of figuring out how to creatively implement it.
For WMKY News, I'm Keneally Roberts.
Support for MSPR comes from Main Street Medical Associates, 214 East Main Street in Moorhead. Main Street Medical Associates is now open to the Moorhead community, providing primary care and addiction services with counseling by board-certified and licensed providers. Same-day and next-day appointments for primary care, medical evaluations, occupational exams, physicals, and addiction services. In-office or telemedicine available by appointment by calling 606-784-8682. That's 784-8682. Main Street Medical Associates on Facebook and online at mainstreetmedical.live.
It's 43 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Moorhead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Rachel Turner and Wiley Tanner, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. We've got a look at sports coming up, but first I want to say thank you. We're so glad you can spend time with us this evening.
Moorhead State soccer and baseball are in action this afternoon. For WMKY Sports, I'm Lakin Hupp. The Moorhead State soccer team faced off with Murray State this afternoon for their season opener. The Eagles fell to the Racers 3-1. Head coach Warren Lipka says no preseason games mean it is hard to prepare for competition.
It's just jumping on the field and playing your toughest game, the first game of the year. People who graduated, people that returned, but other than that, you know, we don't know what system anybody plays. You don't know who's in what position. It's kind of first time that you ever go into a game without any information.
The Eagles head to Eastern Illinois on Friday. Game time is set for 2 p.m. The baseball Eagles are battling out with Louisville this afternoon. The Eagles have just one win so far this season, while the Cards are in number 2 in the ACC in pitching. MSU head coach Mick Aoki said going in he was expecting a tough challenge.
They're good. They're one of the best teams in the country and have been year in and year out for a while. And I feel like they've really, even in the probably in the last 5 or 6 years, really been able to even raise that bar a little bit higher than it already is.
Live stats for today's game are available at msueagles.com. The Rowan County Senior High School girls basketball team is on the road this evening for what will likely be one of their toughest games of the regular season. The Vikings will be taking on Franklin County, who has entered the season at number 1 in the state. Head coach Matt Stokes says his team does have some momentum after winning 3 straight games last week, but it's crunch time and his team must move forward.
And that's been their biggest thing is we've gotten to concentrate and really focus in on some stuff. Offensively, I think we need some more work. I've been very impressed with our defense so far. I think they've executed the game plan that we had for all 3 games that we had this past week, you know, that really gave us the opportunity to win all 3 games.
Rowan will tip off in Franklin County against the Lady Flyers this evening at 7:30. The Rowan County Senior High School boys basketball team is on the road tonight as well. The Vikings will be in Robertson County to take on the Black Devils. Rowan coach Sean Thacker says it will be a big game for both teams, each of them expecting a tough matchup.
They're 11-4. They won the All-A 10th region title for the first time ever. So there's a lot of excitement around their program. And, you know, I told our kids, You know, they're looking forward to us rolling in there.
Tip-off in Robertson County this evening is set for 7:30. Taking a look at other high school basketball action in the region tonight, the Fairview girls team travels to Frankfort Christian at 6. West Carter heads to East Carter and Elliott County host Greenup. Both of those games are slated for 7:30 p.m. In boys high school action tonight, Fairview hosts Braceland at 7. Bath County hosts Fleming. Morgan County hosts Rose Hill Christian, and East Carter travels to Russell. Those last three games are set to begin at 7:30 p.m. We'll have scores from all of tonight's games tomorrow during the morning edition. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Lakin Hupp.
Bud Luke has a look at the stock report right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from David Barber, a licensed realtor with the C. Roger Lewis Agency at 129 East Main Street in Moorhead. Selling real estate locally since 1997, David Barber has taught real estate courses at Moorhead State University for more than 20 years and securing loans for small business owners. Buying or selling a home, farm, or business, Realtor David Barber can be reached at 606-207-7877 at the C. Roger Lewis Agency in Moorhead. That's 606-207-7877.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The Dow Industrials had a turnabout today after yesterday's surge with the blue chip average down 143.9, or I should say the Dow Jones Industrials did finish with a loss of 143.99 at 31,391.52. The S&P 500 was down 31.53 at 3870.29, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 230.04 at 13,358.79. And of course, yesterday the markets were pushed up quite a bit by the good vaccine news from Johnson & Johnson, as well as news that the government stimulus package had been passed by the House of Representatives over the weekend. Today, there wasn't any really big news to push the markets either way. Interest rates were actually down slightly. The 10-year Treasury bond dipped below 1.41%, and it does appear that this very key determinant of interest rates is stabilizing in the low 1.4% range after hitting a high of 1.6% last week. Despite the stability in the government bond market, tech was under pressure today, as both tech and consumer discretionary were the worst performers, while materials were the best performer. Tech heavyweights were in particular under pressure today, with Tesla down 4.5%. Apple and Facebook were both down more than 2%, while Amazon and Microsoft were both down over 1%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was CSX down 77 cents at 92.16, PPL Energy up 25 cents at 27.14, Marathon Petroleum down 7 cents at 56.03, App Harvest down 36 cents at 30.40, Fifth Third Bank up 15 cents at 36.15, and Anthem was up 18 cents to finish at 3.11.66. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boy, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Harry Stambo, Shamari Mosley, Jonathan Burton, Megan Jones, Carla Haight, Lakin Hupp, and Wiley Tanner. WUKY's Josh James, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment came from WMKY's own Keneally Roberts. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Rachel Turner and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5:30.